Welcome back in to GameDaySportsRadio.com and Inside the Numbers, brought to you by State Farm Insurance, Auto, Home, Life, Property, and many other products to make your life go right. Call or visit your local State Farm agent to find out how State Farm can help you. State Farm Insurance, here to help life go right. All right, Mike, let's move out to the West Coast. 3:30 p.m. kick on ABC or ESPN2, depending upon where you are in the country. You'll watch it on one of those two channels. We've got number 7, Washington, and number 17, Oregon. Pac-12 showdown in Eugene. As I said, this is a game that's going to have huge implications in the Pac-12, but ultimately it could have implications nationwide depending on how everything plays out. I like this 3:30 Eastern kickoff out there. Of course, it's a 12:30 local kick, but this is a chance for the Pac-12 to showcase these two teams when you've still got viewers on the East Coast that are awake.
Yeah, that's a real smart move, and that's spot on, Coach. Chris Peterson, he's been advocating this since he took the job in Washington 5 years ago. You got to get in primetime spots, and you got to get when the SEC and the other Power 5 conferences are being shown nationally. We saw Washington play Auburn in Atlanta in week one. They played tight, and they lost the game. They were carrying the torch for the Pac-12. It was a big burden. Of course, they fell short. But a lot of people don't realize the Huskies are built like an SEC team, but the fans and media just don't recognize it.
They don't, and I don't want to go woulda, coulda, shoulda, but Washington, they're still smarting from that loss to Auburn because they know that what cost them that game is their failure to convert in the red zone. Kicking field goals instead of getting a touchdown or two. Had they just pushed one touchdown across instead of having to settle for a field goal, they would be 6-0 right now. Oregon, they should be undefeated. I mean, they blew the Stanford game with turnovers, but at the end, a blotched clock management issue that you and I harp on week in and week out.
Yeah, Coach, and on that point, have you ever heard me say, hey, this player should have cut to the right or this quarterback should have thrown it deep instead of in the middle? I never say that, right?
Right.
Okay, so that's, you know, we've gotten a lot of emails, and on the call-in portion, people call in and say, well, you've never coached, and I get all that. But look, these are simple mathematical situations. Oregon threw that game in the garbage, and we see it almost every single week in college football. Mm-hmm. When I take a look at this game from a handicapper point, from a handicapper and a point spread point of view, the point spread says Oregon wins. The eye test says Washington's defense is too good, and they'll take this one. As for the series, Coach, Oregon's dominated Washington. They've covered 12 of the last 14 meetings. I'm going to have to look at this one some more before I decide on a play on it. But even if we don't have a play, I will certainly tune in to this one at 3:30 Eastern.
And it doesn't matter if you've never coached a down. It doesn't matter if you've never played a down. It really doesn't even matter if you've ever done anything but listen to a game on the radio. Let me tell you something. What we're talking about with clock management at the end of the game, that's simple math that any bright fifth grader could figure out. I mean, it's unbelievable. And these coaches, again, are making millions. These head coaches are making millions of dollars. The coordinators and the position coach are making well up into the six figures. They need to get this figured out. I mean, I never, you know, in 25 plus years of coaching, I never made close to $1 million a year. I never made, you know, I never even cracked six figures as a coach in a year. But let me tell you, every staff I was on, we had the game managed as far as clock management goes. And we did it for the first half, and we did it for the second half. So this just, you know, this just puzzles me beyond a belief. I don't understand it. 3:30 on ABC, we've got number 10, the defending national champions, University of Central Florida Golden Knights. Don't laugh. It's recognized by the NCAA. They're traveling to Memphis to take on the Tigers in the Liberty Bowl. New Golden Knight coach Josh Heupel, he picked up right where Scott Frost left off. This offense really, Mike, looks more effective than they did last year.
They, in some ways, they do. And they lost a lot of great players. Some of them are playing on Sundays this year. And the effort and the job that Scott Frost did was incredible. The last time a team beat Central Florida was Arkansas State in a bowl game in 2016. They haven't lost a game since Obama was in the White House. So Power 5 fan, tune into this game. It's two pretty good teams. I know you look at your conference in Power 5 as the best in the land, but these teams can play.
All you SEC fans, I know you're going to be tuned in to Georgia and LSU tomorrow at 3:30. I know that. I get it. Get you a little DVR set up for some of you folks that may still have a VCR or what have you. I don't know. But just find some way to tape this game because it's going to be worth watching. Last season, they met twice. Central Florida, of course, won both games as they were undefeated and national champions. They beat the Tigers by 27 in the regular season matchup, but in the conference championship game, it was a classic, and the Knights won 62-55 in overtime.
That was a great game, that championship game. In the American Athletic Conference, they refer to themselves as the Power Six, and I would agree with that for sure, because when you look at what they do when they go play other Power Five conferences, they more than hold their own. When I take a look at numbers, 2015, Central Florida was winless. They didn't win a game. Two seasons later, 13-0. That's the best two-year turnaround in the history of college football. A little surprised to find this stat. The last decade or so, we both know Memphis has gone to several bowl games, had some good teams, and UCF has posted both good and bad seasons, as I pointed out, with winless and undefeated seasons. The Knights have played Memphis 11 times since 05. The Knights have owned Memphis. They've won 11 in a row. In this game, Central Florida only favored by 4.5 points. Interesting game.
I mentioned earlier the Georgia-LSU game, number 2 versus number 13, down in Death Valley in Baton Rouge. This is, of course, the 3:30 CBS game. SEC East versus SEC West. Georgia, of course, unbeaten. The Tigers' one loss was last Saturday in Gainesville.
Yeah, LSU lost a tough one in Gainesville. This game has major implications for both SEC and the national scene, especially if LSU is able to pull off the upset. They're about a touchdown underdog in this one. Georgia's won every game by 14 or more. They haven't even been in a tight game in the fourth quarter. LSU played well enough to beat Florida. We know they came up short, but they played well enough to win. My question is, how are the players going to respond after a tough defeat like that?
I think their pride's going to be back. I think they're going to be comfortable being back at home. Got to be excited about playing the number 2 team in the nation, a chance to knock them off and really make a statement, because LSU doesn't feel like that they played their best game last week down in Gainesville. The last time that these two teams played was back in 2013. Georgia won that one 44-41. Each school, though, had different head coaches, coordinators, and players. I mean, there's absolutely no carryover from that game. So this is really the first time that these staffs and players have seen each other. And I think early on in the game, there's going to be a lot of filling each other out, seeing how they respond to different situations. But I think, obviously, this has the makings to be one of the highlight games of the year.
I do, too. And it's hard to factor in that 2013 game, but it does shine light on the fact that teams from the East and West divisions of the SEC, they really don't know what to expect on road trips in these crossover games. The last time Georgia played in Baton Rouge, now remember, they played in the SEC title game back in 11, I believe. But the last time that Georgia went to Baton Rouge was October of 08.
Yeah, and that's an important point that you make, because as we talk many times, how special Death Valley is, and this staff and the players from Georgia, they haven't experienced Death Valley as a group. Now, of course, Kirby and a lot of the coaches have experience from other staffs. So, you know, it's going to be new for these players. Now, one thing is the Bulldogs do catch a break, because this game is at 3:30 p.m. instead of a night game, because Death Valley is one thing at 3:30 in the afternoon, totally something different at night.
Coach, you're exactly right. And let me tell you, this is a little bit unusual. A lot of times you and I will talk about what has an influence on the point spread. And most things, some things you'll ask and you would think it would have an influence, and it doesn't. But let me tell you, right now Georgia is a 7 to 8 point favorite in some casinos. If this game were played at night, they would be less than 7, because 7 obviously is a key number. So it'd be 6 or 6.5, and that's huge. It's a much different story when you go in there at night. When I take a look at numbers, LSU had covered 7 straight conference games before losing last Saturday. Georgia, one of the best road teams in all of college football, they've covered 19 of their last 26 road games. They don't panic on the road, and they obviously are extremely talented. It's a tough call here. The public is all over Georgia, but if that line continues to go up, I think I may take a chance with the Tigers, plus the points.
Up next, we're going to take a look at Missouri and Alabama, more college games, and the NFL, and we'll do that when we come right back on GameDaySportsRadio.com, Inside the Numbers.